Imagine Reuven tells Shimon to do him a favor and move a barrel from one place to another place. And one who transfers a barrel from one place to another place, so Shimon listens to Reuven and he does it. But then, while he's doing it, Shvara, Shimon breaks the barrel by mistake. Whether Shimon is a Shomer Chinom, meaning he's not being paid to move it, but while he moves it, he still has responsibility over it. Or whether he's a Shomer Socher because he's being paid to move it, in either scenario, Yeshova, he needs to swear that he didn't do it on purpose, and if he does so, then he is exempt from paying. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, some versions read Rabbi Elazar, Zevzei Yeshova, both Hashem Achinam, both Hashem Sochar, should swear, and then they won't need to pay. So this is exactly the same as the Tanakhama said. But Rabbi Eliezer is really saying that he heard from his teachers, his Rebbein, the same thing, that whether Hashem Achinam, whether Hashem Sochar, he does not need to pay. However, Sameani, Rabbi Eliezer himself says, I'm surprised. I'd be amazed if both Hashem Achinam and Hashem Sochar would be able to swear and get off the hook like that. Because remember, Hashem Sochar is only exempt from paying if it's totally out of his control. Here, he should have been more careful and not dropped it. In fact, even a Shomer Chinom, if he didn't look after it properly, he's also chayev. And here, by dropping it, that shows that he wasn't careful enough with it. So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, both a Shomer Chinom and a Shomer Sochar should have to pay. However, the Tanakhama holds that no, he definitely didn't do this on purpose, and tripping and dropping this is an accident, and it's considered out of his control, and therefore he won't need to pay. In fact, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees in one scenario, and that is if a Shomer Chinom is transferring the barrel from one place to another, but it's on a hill or something, it's a slanty place, and therefore it is quite easy for him to trip. In that case, it is considered out of his control if he does trip. So in that case, it would help to swear. But in all other scenarios, and for whenever the case is for a Shomer Sochar, he will have to pay, and swearing is not enough. Perek Zayin continues the discussion about hired workers, and the mission tells us Hasorich Zapperlim, one who hires workers, and we're talking about workers who are hired for the day or for the week, but they're hired for the amount of time as opposed to for the job. Now the halacha is when you hire workers, you can make whatever agreement you like with them, and if they agree to it, then that's the conditions of the work. However, if you make no conditions, then the employer has to treat them and provide for them according to what is considered normal in that location. And therefore, if he didn't make any special conditions when he made the agreement with the workers, and only after that, if he told them, when you come and work for me, you need to come before it gets light in the morning and after it gets dark in the evening. So if that is if that's in a location where the minhag, the custom, is not to make workers come so early and leave so late, then in Rashi Lachayv is not able to force them to do so because he didn't specify that condition when they made the agreement and they didn't agree to that. In fact, even if he offered more money at the time of the agreement, they still wouldn't have thought that he meant they have to come extra early and leave extra late. So giving them extra money could mean lots of things. It could mean do a better job, not necessarily to come early and do more hours, and therefore you can't force them. Similarly, if it's a location where the normal thing is for the employer, the person who is hiring the workers, to provide meals for his employees, for his workers, if that's the minhag, then yozon, he has to do that, unless he specified otherwise. If the custom and the normal thing is even for the employer to provide nice dips and refreshments for the food, he has to do that as well, because that is the custom. The rule is, it all depends on the custom of that place, of that location, of that country. Now, as we said before, if the minhag of that place is anyway that the employer provides meals for the employees, that doesn't even need to be mentioned as part of the conditions, because he has to do it anyway. Which means that if he does mention it as one of the conditions, he has to give them a feast, a big meal. So he's obligating himself more than just giving the normal meal, because he would have had to do that anyway. And the Mishnah illustrates this halacha with a story. Masa Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya. There was a story with Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, which Omar Levinoy told his son, go out and hire for us workers. His son went and he did so. And when he hired them, he fixed food for them, meaning he agreed that they would provide them food. And when his son returned to his father, his father said to him, when he heard about this condition, Bani, my son, even if you make for them a meal the size of Shlomo HaMelech's meal, he was the wealthiest king, he had huge feasts, you would not have fulfilled your obligation with them, because they are the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Avraham's feast, which he made for the three angels when they came to visit him, that was bigger than the feast which Shlomo HaMelech made. And since these people are Jewish, they're descendants of Avraham, they are deserving of a meal like him, since you made the condition that you'd give them an extra big meal. And an extra big meal for them is considered like the size of Avraham Avinu's meal. So what should we do? I've got a solution. Actually, aschilu b'malocha, before they begin working for us, say them alahem, go out and tell them, you should only work for us almanas on condition she'ein lachem olay al pasukin esbilvad, that we only need to provide for you bread and beans, but we're not going to actually give you a massive feast, which is pretty much impossible to give such a huge feast the size of Avraham Avinu's feast. But anyway, after all of this, Gamliel Omer, and Shimon Gamliel said that Lohoi Tzorech Lomer. He didn't have to go back and tell them this, because we have a rule, HaKol Kemen Gamadina. It all depends on the normal thing in that location. And the normal thing in that location was certainly not for the employer to provide a massive meal for the employees. So even though they did say that they give them food when they didn't have to, they still anyway only need to give them bread and beans, whatever the normal thing is, because the workers would not have expected more, since that is not the normal thing in that location. Mishnah Beis. So far we've seen two ways in which a worker would have the right to eat food while he's working. Number one is if that is the custom of the place, and number two is that even if it's not the custom of the place, but he specifically said that that is a condition of the work, in that case they'd also be able to eat the food from the employer. This Mishnah gives us a third way, and that is Ve'elu Oichim Min HaTorah. The following people, the following workers can eat because of the Torah. Meaning, the Torah says that when a worker is working in a field or something, he is allowed to eat from the produce which he is working on at that time. And what exactly he can eat is learned from the Pesukim in the Torah, and this Mishnah will basically summarize what the workers can eat. A worker whose job it is to work with produce which is connected to the ground, and this would include up to the stage of harvesting. So it would include taking it out of the ground. So he can eat b'shas gemar melacha at the time that the process is completed, meaning once it's been detached from the ground, that is when the worker can eat it. But a worker whose job it is to work with things which are detached from the ground, he can eat it already now, but from the beginning of his job, but only up to the stage where the process is complete, because once the process is complete, that produce is now chayev in maser and truma and challah and all the various gifts which need to go to the kohen, the levi, or the poor people. And before the gifts have been separated, the worker can't eat it. So it's only up to that point that he is able to eat from the things that he is working on. Furthermore, a worker can only eat the food that he's working on if the food that he's working on is bedovashe gedul ben aretz. It's something which grew from the ground. Even if it's not attached to the ground now, it had to be something which grew from the ground. So for example, milk or something, if a worker is working with milk, he cannot drink the milk. The Torah only allows the worker to eat the produce if it grew from the ground. And interestingly, the Rambam learns that all these boundaries and what exactly he can eat are learnt from an animal, because the Torah says that one is not allowed to muzzle his animal when it's working. Why? So that the animal can eat from the produce which it is working on. So just like an animal can do that, so too a person can do that. But that means that just like an animal works with things which grew from the ground, so too only workers who work with those things can eat that thing, because they're like the animal in that sense. Similarly, just like the animal is not allowed to eat the produce once it needs to be given to the poor, the Kohanim, so to the worker can't, etc. And all those things are learnt from the animal's ability to eat from the produce it's working on. Very similar halachas apply to a worker. Okay, on the other hand, the following people are those who cannot eat the produce even if they are working on it. Someone whose job it is to work with things attached to the ground until it's harvested, if it's at a time that the process is not being completed, meaning it's still attached to the ground. Just like an animal doesn't work with those things, so too the worker won't be able to eat. In fact, even if the worker is, let's say, harvesting, or we'll take a tree example, if it's, let's say, picking fruit from a tree, but it's only picking some fruit, the fruit which it's not taking off the tree, even though he's completing the process of part of the tree, the parts which he's not completing, he can't eat from. So the fruit which he is not plucking from the tree for the sake of harvesting it, he can't eat those fruit because that is considered not completed and therefore he can't eat it. And a worker whose job it is to work with things which are detached from the ground, he can no longer eat it if once the process has been completed, because now it has to be separated, part of it has to be given to the Kohanim, the Levim, etc. And therefore he can't eat it. And something which didn't grow from the ground, of course, like we explained earlier. Mishnah Gimel. What happens if a worker was doing work with just his hands? Which is most work, really. If you're harvesting, for example, avloi b'raglov, but he wasn't using his feet. Or b'raglov, if he was only using his feet for the work, avloi b'yodov, but he was not using his hands. For example, he was threshing by standing on the grain. Afilu b'chseifei, or even if he was only using his shoulders, let's say he was carrying something, haizeh oichel, even though he's not using his whole body to do the work, he's still considered a worker, and therefore haizeh oichel, he is able to eat what the Torah allows him to eat. Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda takes the connection of a worker to an animal even further, and he says very fascinatingly, Ad chiyasa biyodov v'raglov. It's only if the worker is using both his hands and his feet that he is able to eat what the Torah allows him to eat. Why? Because an animal uses, if you think about it, his hands and its feet. Its front two legs and its back two legs. And therefore, since we learn the whole worker's ability to eat from the produce, we learn that from animals, it's got to be done in a similar way. And therefore, only if the animal uses both its hands and its feet for its work, only then is it able to eat the food which the Torah prescribes, like we described in the previous Mishnah.